Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights. We'll be swimming when we
the authentically
die.
Entertaining conversation that matters.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky where the stars have always shined.
I'm Mark Leger, and now, your host, the MC, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I have been so looking forward to this show. It's interesting, actually. I was away in Mexico for a week, and on my people said, "How was your vacation?" Well, I actually have been working on so many things at the Life Changes Show that I don't know that it was much of a vacation. And the irony of it is on the way from where I was staying to the hotel, or rather to the airport last night, on the way home. The driver of the random taxi cab was starting to ask me a lot of questions in Spanish, and in my broken Spanish, I was trying to answer them. And one of them is he just was so adamant about knowing what it is that I do, because I was different to him than most people that come to Mexico or something. I don't know, and no coincidences, I guess. And so he couldn't have been more than 19, 20, maybe 21. I don't know. But he kept asking me. It's like, so I said, hey, I'm a life coach. And he said, well, what's that? And I said, I don't know how to say life coach in Spanish. And let me see, coach, you know, coach, like in sports, you know, like team, isn't that equipe? And then there's the jefe that tells you, you know, go here, go there. And he said, entrenador. And I'm like, maybe. I don't know what an entrenador is, but maybe. And I said, so is that coach? And he said, yes, entrenador. I said, okay, so vita entrenador or entrenador vita. And he says, I don't understand. What is that? And I'm like, oh, my God. How do I do this in Spanish? Say what a life coach is. And so I said, okay, so you know how el coach, entrenador, whatever, kind of looks at the team. And so I'm trying to say to him that sometimes when someone knows how to do certain things, they can look and see if you're doing this or you're doing that. And he said, well, if somebody's never done something, how could they know? And I said, well, you could see. How long is this trip to the airport? And then I took it on as a challenge. And I'm like, okay, listen. Let's take you, for example. I said, you know, this is a great job you have. I hope you like it. Is there anything else you'd also want to do in life? Because you seem very young. And he said, yes. He got serious all of a sudden. And I said, well, what is it? You don't have to tell me, but like we could use an example. And he says, let's use an example. And I said, okay, like what? And he says, like, let's say I want to be an actor. And I got, that's not what he wants to be. But he's just telling me, use that as an example. Let's say I want to be an actor. I said, let's say you want to be an actor. Okay, so let me tell you, probably some of the blockages that people have about being an actor is like, well, I live all the way here in Mexico. How am I going to get to Hollywood? And I'm probably too fat and too ugly, and I've never done this before. My parents don't believe in me. And he's like looking at me, and I'm like, look at the road. But he's like, yeah. And so I said, these are kind of blocks to even remotely being able to do any kind of an acting. And then why do you want to be an actor? Because maybe you just want to be an actor locally or whatever. And he's like, yeah. And I'm thinking, yeah, what? You don't want to be an actor. And he says, I want to do MMA. And I'm like, oh, you want to be an MMA fighter? And he says, yes. And I said, well, same thing. I bet you're saying to yourself, and he didn't let me finish, I can't do it. I'm too old already. I'm not strong enough. And he went through this whole thing. And I said, and that's what a life coach, for starters, I was so happy that we got this far, could look at and say, already you're in a process of not ever being able to achieve your dream, even if it's not to become the best MMA fighter ever, even if it's something that just makes you happy. And if you're happy and you get to do something that you've stopped doing, evidently, don't you think that makes your work happier or your life happier or your family happier? And he's like, yeah, yeah. What's your name? You should come here and be a life coach in Mexico. And I'm like, wow, I should learn Spanish for starters. And he came around and helped me with my luggage and shook my hand. And it was like he wanted to hug me, but I thought, really? I'm usually a hugger, but I thought, handshake's good. And I thought, wow, here we were 25 minutes and what a challenge and how great. And he left with such a big smile on his face. And I have a feeling something changed inside of him. And so I couldn't wait to have this conversation with our guest because he's a coach and a life coach. And how perfect that we could have this conversation on a whole other level and in English so I could understand it even better. Our guest is Jimmy Dean Freeman. He is an ultra runner himself. He's a coach, a motivational speaker. We're going to talk to him in just a moment. And later on, live music here in the studio with West Coast Americana band Morrison and Company, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sierra Campbell, and Alan Roderick Jones on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
I'm Filippo Voltaggio as your host, and sitting in for Mark Lejeune as co-host is our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue. Dorothy, welcome as co-host.
Wow. What a great story, Filippo. You are always coaching, always. And what a great blessing you were to that young man. And I'm so happy that you can speak more than one language because you got through to him. So congratulations. And it's great that you were talking about sports. And here we are tonight. Sports is not my thing, but I'm so excited. Mark, our co-host, is all about sports, and he's listening in from far away tonight. Thank you for being here, Jimmy Dean. And thanks to Miles Berkowitz for telling us all about you.
And we're happy to have him here. He is head coach and founder of Coyote Running. He's, like I said earlier, ultra runner himself. He's a coach. He's a motivational speaker. He's a keynote speaker. And I should say, a full-time stay-at-home dad as well. Jimmy Dean Freeman, welcome to the show.
Hola, ¿qué pasó?
todo es bien.
That's about it. That's the
well, I was going to say, in case you ever need it, it looks like it is entrenador vital.
Entrenador vital.
Vital or mentor personal.
Mentor personal.
Yeah, in case you need that. But if that's all you can give them, maybe you won't need that. But I know you could give so much because I was watching your face during this whole conversation and you're like, yeah. So what was that? What was that? You were...
Well, I think that there's an opportunity in every conversation with every person that you meet to make a difference. Mm. And I had a game a long time ago. I worked at a coffee shop and I had this game where I'm going to meet 250 people a morning. And can I make a difference for that person?
On a regular morning?
A barista, just making coffee, handing to the person on their way out the door. And I had a game of can you make a difference? Can you have an impact on somebody's day in 30 seconds or less?
Wow.
And it's easy to see the same people who are your regulars, you know, five times a week and get them to smile. They get to know your personality. They warm up to you. The real game, and like you said in that anecdote, was you wanted to take on the challenge. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, let's do this.
Yeah.
And for me, the real reward was when the person comes in and they're clearly ticked off. And who knows at what?
In the coffee shop. Yeah.
Like,
and if it's early morning, they're also groggy and tired.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they were up half the night with a sick kid. Maybe they got into a fight with their spouse. Maybe they have a really stressful job and a project and they're late. Like, you have no idea what people are dealing with.
Yeah.
And my game was, can I turn that person's experience around in 30 seconds? Mm. Now, I failed a lot. Mm. But I also had 250 opportunities to do it a day.
Yeah. Wow.
And so little did I know that that was training me as a coach and as a father.
Already the conversation is taking shape with the title of the show, which is Training the Mind Like a Muscle. And it sounds like a simple thing, but even as a barista or as a barista, you're training the mind to affect as many people as possible.
There's an intention. Yeah, there's an intention and an attitude towards affecting someone.
Yeah.
And as a coach, that's a baseline. If you're a coach, it doesn't matter whether you're coaching volleyball or coaching people in their life or you're a career coach. Like, your intent as a coach is to effect change. I want to make you a better volleyball player, or I want to make you a better distance runner, or I want to make you happier and more fulfilled in your life. The intention is to effect change. And I think that as a coach, one of the baseline definitions for being a coach is that you can see something in someone before they can see it in themselves.
Yes.
So people come to us with I want to do this, but I don't know how. I want to do this, but I don't believe I can. And our job initially is to get them to buy in. Okay. Nice. So someone comes to me and says, I want to run a marathon and I've never run a mile, or I want to run 100 miles and I've done 2 marathons. You know, what do I do? I want to figure this out.
Yeah.
So our first job is to get them to commit to the intention.
Which is the mind.
It's the mind. It's completely.
It has nothing to do with you know, like, okay, look, start running or do an exercise. It's the mind.
Right. And this can work in every area of our lives. Like, if you believe you're having a bad day, you will start to receive information from everything that you do and see to support that bad day.
Oh, prove it.
Right?
It'll prove it.
Yeah, exactly. So
told you.
I'm having a bad day and I'm in traffic and people won't let me merge. That's part of my bad day.
Oh yeah.
But that's not consistent with my commitment to affect change. I'm not in a good space if I'm living in the having a bad day world. So how do we reframe ourselves? How do we reframe our clients to find that negative experience and then to flip it?
Nice.
And that's sort of being,
you don't mean flip them, you mean
don't flip people off. I mean, it might feel good for just a second, but it's not going to get you anywhere. And God, there's road rage out there.
You're right. It can make a bad day worse.
Yeah, a really bad day. Things
flip it. I like that. Flip it, not flip them. Flip it, not them. We need to make a t-shirt.
That's a meme.
So one of the things that I tell my athletes in the middle of a race or a training session that's not going well is you have to get present. And our little saying is, what can I do right now? The longer version of it is, what can I do right now to make this better?
Nice.
And it works everywhere. So, you know, today I'm at home. I'm preparing for the show tonight. And my wife texts me like, you know, you're on the schedule at the preschool today, right?
Oh, wow.
And my daughter goes to preschool. She's 4. She's in school from 12:30 to 3:15. And I'm scheduled as the working parent. I'm supposed to bring snack. I'm supposed to work at the school.
Wow.
Now, to compound this, I'm also the scheduler for the rest of the parents. So I'm not only supposed to be there, I'm supposed to be setting the example. And I realize, one, I don't have childcare. I have 2 kids. Can't just latchkey my 1-year-old.
One of them.
Yeah. And,
oh, wow.
And I have a lot of stuff to get done in the day. So I start with like, okay, this isn't a good moment. I'm an hour away from needing to be there. And there's a lot of things to handle, whether I'm working there or not working there. There's stuff that has to be handled. And I had to say to myself, what can I do right now to make this better? So I send out an email/text to all the other parents like, hey, if any of you are available to work this today, I'll take your next day later this week, early next week, whatever. And I'm sending messages concurrently to childcare, anybody available within the hour. And it got handled within like 5 minutes. Another parent said, hey, I'm already going to school. I can stay and work. I'm tomorrow. Can you take my day tomorrow? And we flipped the days. It worked really well.
Wow.
Wow. You know, actually, and there I'm noticing something that we talked about when it actually came to races, when I was asking you, you know, is it like keep your eye on the goal or and you said, well, there are actually two things. And so I'd like to talk about those two things when we come back, because that sounds perfect for life as well. So
definitely, right along.
Look forward to talking about that with our guest, Jimmy Dean Freeman. And then looking forward to live music here in the studio later on in the show with Morrison and company, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
Hey guys, this is Michaela. So I'm here to tell you about the DNA Institute. If you haven't heard of it already, I wanted to let you in on it because it completely changed my life. A few years ago, I was 30 pounds overweight. I wanted a career, good friends, a loving family, and financial success, and I didn't have any of it, so I ate. Within 6 months, the DNA Institute treatment not only helped me lose the 30 pounds, it also rebalanced my hormones, healed my metabolic and digestive system, and made my higher functioning brain so loud it became impossible to overeat when I was full. Don't we all want that? So many of my friends and family turned to the Institute after they saw my success. All of them lost their desired weight, ranging from 8 to 60 pounds. I found this to be so different than anything I'd ever tried before, and it was easier than anything I'd ever done. It's not a supplement or a diet pill. It's a genuine, doctor-prescribed, custom medical treatment made just for you. It doesn't matter what your situation is or how much weight you have to lose. I believe the Institute will get you to your goal. My experience is that this is more than just a weight loss system. It's a biohack to a better way of looking, feeling, and living. When I started, I had never heard of the DNA Institute, but the fact that they've been in Beverly Hills since 1982 gave me a real peace of mind. Now that you've heard of them, click on the DNA ad at lifechangesshow.com and get your customized formula started today. Change your life like I changed mine.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Dorothy Donahue and our guest, Jimmy Dean Freeman. We talk about him as a head coach and founder of Coyote Running and all of that, but we really didn't talk about you as an ultra runner. I didn't really know what an ultra runner is. I know marathons, and they're like 30,000 kilometers or something, or you said 26.
Marathon's 42.2 kilometers, oh, 42, okay. Or 26.2 miles.
Okay, and so that sounds like a lot, but an ultra runner is what?
An ultra marathon is loosely defined as anything longer than a marathon.
Yeah, and we're not talking like one or two more kilometers.
Well, I mean, a 50-kilometer race, a 31-mile race, is a pretty common race distance that's uh-huh. considered an ultra-distance race. But people do 50, 100, 200-mile continuous on-foot type of efforts.
You've done, was it? Did I get this mixed up? Was it a 135-mile race through Death Valley in the dead of summer? Is that do I have this right?
It doesn't seem real when you sort of read it. It
doesn't seem right.
It's a race called Badwater. It's a dumb water. or bad idea. It's another thing that people call it. But it's 135 miles from Badwater Basin in Death Valley, which is the lowest point in the Western Hemisphere, mm-hmm. and you run 135 miles on road tarmac through 125 degrees Fahrenheit to Mount Whitney. You run halfway up Mount Whitney. So Badwater to Mount Whitney in a straight shot. You have 48 hours to complete the event. I've competed in it twice. I've actually been out there on support teams four different times.
Wow. For other runners.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. As a coach and as a support crew.
Yeah.
And it's a remarkable event that I at one point said that I would never do. And, you know, life always likes to challenge those nevers. And
yeah. And interestingly, that's the thought that ran through my mind. I'll never do that. And I have a feeling I really never will.
Yeah.
But you did. I have to ask you, 130, I mean, it's very hot, 125 degrees, right? Something like
that? Yeah, the ambient air temperature is 125.
Yeah.
And the temperature coming off the pavement has been recorded at 170. It's pretty intense.
Wow.
Inferno of
the
air.
Melting pavement. I mean,
yeah,
in some cases.
It's literally,
sure.
They say if you don't run on the white line, that your shoes can delaminate. You literally melt your shoes running on the blacktop.
Okay. So as you're doing this, your mind has to be on something. You said there are two things to focus on.
Right.
For starters.
So the two basic things that you have to keep in your realm of consciousness are... Mm-hmm. The goal.
I'm going to die.
The goal. Yeah. I think Jerry Seinfeld said it once. Don't die. Don't die. Don't die. Don't die.
Okay,
which by the way, is an intention, you know, when you're doing certain things that are testing you to your limit.
Yeah.
You know, rock climbers. Rule number one is don't die. You know, so
yeah,
there's a lot of extreme sports out there where you have to keep your life and well-being.
Or if we say it in a positive way, I'm going to live.
I'm going to live.
I'm going to live.
No,
I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Okay. So, but is that like number one? Like that's like
why? Number one is your intention and your goal.
Okay.
What is it that you want to accomplish?
Okay.
Some people it's, you know, run for political office. For some people it's get an advanced level degree and become a professor. For some people it's make $1 million a year. You know, whatever your goal is, whatever's important to you is what you should keep in mind. And the second piece is the present moment right now. What do I need to do to move towards that? And I think that there's a lot of people that get stuck in the bigger the goal. I call it mind the gap.
Okay.
You know, they have these signs all over the train stations in
yes.
London. And it says, mind the gap. And it's just this idea that, like, to step from here to the train is bigger than you think. Mind the gap. And I think that for us as human beings, when we look at the distance between where we are to where we want to be, the gap is enormous most of the time. If the goal is worth stretching for, if the goal is something that's going to inspire you to move towards it, the gap is huge. And then there's a paralysis that happens, that it's so far away. So there's a joke I tell my runners, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And then I flip that immediately and say, how do you run 135 miles? One step at a time.
One step at a time. Wow.
And we can get so overwhelmed with the enormity of a task in life, you know, managing a kid through their education, or, you know, finding the right partner to settle down in a life partnership, or to get the job of our dreams. There's a lot of steps and they all seem like, you know, 1,000 miles.
You know, I like that you use the analogy, like the relationship analogy. Like there's so many people that want that ultimate relationship that they have in their mind, right?
Right.
Mind the gap between what that looks like and what we need to do to prepare ourselves for that. Because we might be learning. I mean, like you and I are engaging in a conversation right now. And if that conversation wasn't going well, then potentially that kind of relationship is something that we take into our, you know, our romantic relationships.
Right.
And then we wonder why that's not going well. So each moment or each opportunity, we can be focused on the goal and saying, okay, how can I relate in this moment with this person as we get ready for the ultimate relationship? So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because as a running coach, I think the number one thing that people talk to me about while we're out there running is the relationships. Yeah. And
right.
My wife and I have been together for almost 18 years now.
Yeah.
And
you not only are have a team, like two kids and all that together.
Two
and
kids and
together,
a dog.
But you have a business together too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's a multifaceted machine. And it takes having that intention of like, what are our goals as a family? Where do we want to be? And then what do we have to do right now to make those things happen? And sometimes the right now is just survival. right? Sometimes it's just like not drowning, like, oh, I just need to tread water here for a second. Like, we're not going to be moving forward very quickly, but you keep your intention on, okay, well, we're going to move forward the moment that we can. And it doesn't look right or feel right all the time, but as long as you keep focused on that forward progress, sometimes you're moving forward at the speed of light, and sometimes, you know, you feel like you're carrying an anchor behind you. But
let's take it back to the race. I'm just curious. Sure. So, like, when 135 miles and it's really hot, what are some?
It's really hot.
I'm trying to wrap my mind around this. Like, what are some of the things that are going? You're obviously very well trained, and do you still even have moments where, like, oh gosh?
I think the reason that people take on these types of events is they're trying to test themselves to the fabric of their being.
Okay.
And I call a 100-mile race a three-crisis race.
Interesting.
135 miles through Death Valley is a 5 or 6 crisis race.
Okay. What are some of the crises?
I mean, your stomach can turn upside down, and you have to get fluids and calories, you know, consistently throughout 30, 40, 48 hours. And if your stomach stops accepting the fluid and the calories, that's going to be a crisis.
Never thought that would ever be an issue.
Yeah. Oh, no. Throwing up is a very common problem at that race. Sometimes it's due to heat stress. Sometimes it's due to the physical exertion of trying to push yourself forward through those conditions. Sometimes it's just the sheer cumulative fatigue. I mean, think about doing anything for 30 to 40 hours straight.
Yeah.
Like it's, I think the one thing that people get so stuck on is
driving 135.
Yeah. Like if you tried to do, to mow the lawn for 35 hours straight, like there's going to be a lot of problems that are going to be presented. Right? If you try to binge watch your favorite show on Netflix for 35 hours, there's going to be some challenges.
Yeah, but I don't think you're going to throw up as much. It depends on
you
the
never
show.
Know. You never know. It depends on what you're eating.
Yeah, that's true, actually, especially if you're sitting there just eating. Okay, so if you think I'll never make it, that's the end, kind of, right?
Well, yeah, there's physical obstacles and there's mental obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
And the mental ones are typically the biggest game changers, because there's more people that fail at these events because they can't mentally see themselves around a problem than that are actually removed from the event because they had some physical failure.
So their body might have done it.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah. There's something really magnificent in these endurance events about thinking you're at rock bottom physically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then finding you have more energy, finding you have more strength that you hadn't tapped into before.
Mm.
The quote that comes up for me a lot is, you never know how strong you are until being strong is the only choice you have.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
And then you have to be tested in order to discover who you are, to discover, you know, how strong you are inside.
You know, you have trained over 2,000 adults and young people to run further and more efficiently and all of that. I'm assuming most of them were in America or Americans?
Yeah, almost 100% of them have been, I'd say 99% of them have been in Los Angeles.
Is there something that most of them and maybe even most of us say to ourselves that maybe we shouldn't? Like that's like the one thing you try and help them out of?
Yeah, I mean, everybody has self-perceived limitations.
Self-perceived
limitations.
So
everyone,
they don't really have the limitation.
Everybody has a glass ceiling, and some people's glass ceiling is higher than others.
Wow.
And so I think part of my job is helping people realize that you need to take the roof off.
Wow.
It's an interesting conversation as a human being to say, okay, look, you don't know what you're capable of. You don't.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't.
Mm-hmm.
And if you took that conversation about knowing what you can and can't do out of the picture,
mm-hmm.
and life was just a discovery,
mm-hmm.
it's just an exploration. How far can you go? Wow. And now we've taken that to a very literal sense.
Yeah.
And said, okay, physically, how far can we go?
Mm-hmm.
I want to run over that mountain range. I want to run through that desert. I want to go farther than I think I physically can, but it takes you there mentally too. And in a relationship, you know, you get to a certain closeness, to a certain intimacy, and then people hit the glass ceiling.
Mm.
It's not comfortable anymore, or I'm not getting what I want out of it. You know, like, but if you take the lid off, how far can it go?
You know, the keynote speaker, motivational speaker is coming out of you with every with every breath. Usually I'm not the guy that wants to talk about sports. We go into sports and you come out and you go back to relationships.
The funny thing is, as a runner, we talk about very little running while we're out there. And then when I go to a party, that's all everybody wants to talk about is the running. So,
while they're running, they're like, you know, why can't my husband be more like you? Is that what the women are saying?
Definitely not.
Oh, no.
No, they know, they know all my problems because they've been out there with me for hours. And hours and hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think the thing about, you know, my relationship working is I picked a lady that could deal with all of my neurosis and issues. And I picked a lady that I had a lot of compatibility with. And, you know, what I don't do very well, she's exceptional at.
And probably because you know your stuff, and you're able to work with other people's stuff.
Most of the time. It's just, you know, I can be great with everybody. And sometimes the person that gets the worst of me is, you know, my spouse.
That's honest.
We didn't last 18 years being bad all the time. You know, we're best friends and partners.
So. I appreciate you talking like this. I like what you do and how you're doing it. And if you are liking this too, you could go to SoCal, as in Southern California, SoCal Coyotes, SoCalCoyotes.com, and learn more about how you can do. Not all of them are 200 miles or 135, but he does all kinds of things, worked with kids. I mean, this is actually, maybe when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about that, because that's quite special as well. But you could learn more about Jimmy Dean Freeman. You can find out what you're made of. You can coach with him. You can invite him to come speak at your event as a keynote speaker or motivational speaker. We'll be right back with more Jimmy Dean Freeman. Also, a little later on, we're going to have our Ask Dorothy segment here with Dorothy Lee Donahue. And finally, we're going to have live music with our musical guest Morrison and Company, all live on the Life Changes Show, and we come back after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes Show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Barbara Morrison, and Kyle Cease at our archive on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Dorothy, and of course our guest, Jimmy Dean Freeman. You can learn more about him at SoCal Coyotes. I don't know why I said coyotes. I just got back from Mexico, and I'm an entrenador vital.
I don't speak much Spanish, but I do know it's quiote.
No, quiote. Quiote. Excuse me. Oh, man. You know, one of the things that I really liked about our conversation we were having before the show, how you said that life is obstacles and navigating through obstacles. And you said
nobody has a clear path.
Yeah. I mean, they might have a clear path in their mind, but in actuality going through it.
Yeah, but even what we come up with in our head is usually either a fantasy or a nightmare. Like when we dream of doing something, we dream of this like perfect finish line.
Mm-hmm.
We rarely dream about the path there.
Mm.
The grunt work, the everyday moving things forward, the obstacle navigation.
The obstacle. You're right, right, right. Yeah. Wow. And this would be a great thing, and obviously is, to teach children, and you've worked with children before. What's that about and for you, and what's that like?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing with kids is they don't have the same glass ceilings.
Oh.
They first off, they come in that anything is possible. I can fly. I can be a superhero. I'm going to be a professional baseball player. But even to a degree, even the kids that you would think, you know, maybe don't have the same opportunities,
mm-hmm.
they all have vivid imaginations.
Yeah.
And they believe that on some level anything is possible.
Wow.
It takes a while of life being bad or a kid being in a negative situation to dull that bright light.
Yeah.
Kids have that innocence and that hope.
Mm.
And that's what makes them really magical.
Mm.
And at the same time, you know, they're lacking deductive reasoning and you know, a dose of reality and stuff. But I think all of the stuff that I did with kids has really come full circle now, being in the trenches with two of them 50 hours a week.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. You actually said before we were talking, I don't know if I should say this, but I think
say whatever you like. Just put it out there.
You said being in the crosshairs of your children.
Yeah, and I don't say this to everybody, but here we go. Like, little children, like toddlers and young kids, they're terrorists. But again, they haven't developed to a certain emotional place. There's no empathy. There's no how do you feel about this? What do you think? They're not thinking from another perspective. It's just, they haven't developed yet, right?
right.
And my joke with my 4-year-old is when she's, you know, not taking no for an answer. No, you can't have that, mm-hmm. you know, ice cream right now, or you can't watch TV right now, or whatever it is. She'll stay at it for, you know, 10, 15 minutes. And I'll look at her and I'll say, I don't negotiate with terrorists.
Oh.
And she'll get the joke much later, but my wife always has a good laugh about it. But I think the idea with kids is they are hopeful and they're relentless and they don't understand no.
Mm.
So really, you know, when working with kids, I'm spending a lot less time trying to tell them that it is possible.
Oh, wow.
And I'm spending a lot more time in the now, in the being present, and what do we do to move this forward? So, you know, like in the very running specific vein, you know, working with kids, it's really like creating games. And again, like that, after working with kids, I brought a totally new thing back to the adults, which was, how do you make this fun?
Nice.
Because life, you know, life is hard. Nice. Life is really brutal. February for us involved 3 of the 4 family members getting the flu.
Mm-hmm.
And being a parent, you don't get off time. And here I am sick in the middle of the night. My kids are waking up screaming and you're not getting sleep to get better. But like, you just, how do you make it fun?
You know, I think I even remember this, that we were trying to book you then
a couple weeks ago.
And, and
Valentine's week,
you were saying yes, and then Dorothy says, you know, he sounds sick, and I'm like, he sounds sick, he's got kids, he sounds sick. It's like, tell the guy no. We don't want you now. Yeah. Give yourself a break.
Well, when we first started talking about it was just my daughter that was sick.
Oh, okay.
And then like the day before the show I came down with it, so it was a rough month. But wow. Again, like, you bring it back to, life is hard. Life is brutal. Life is unforgiving. And you got to keep your intention on that thing that you want. And then you got to make the hard work fun. Like, what do you do to reframe your attitude and your mindset towards enjoying the tough elements of it?
Nice.
My grandmother instilled this in me when I was really young. She said, in life, you can very rarely choose your circumstances, but you can always choose your attitude.
Wow. Thank you, Grandma. What was her name?
Margaret Cauley Freeman.
Margaret Cauley Freeman.
And the thing with that is, you know, when we're climbing a mountain, going up the mountain is difficult, but it's the view at the top that we're chasing after.
Mm.
And coming back down is not nearly as difficult.
Wow.
And you've got that view. So if you were on a strenuous hike, climbing up a mountain, mm-hmm. you wouldn't be necessarily complaining about every step of the climb. You'd be thinking about where you're going. And in life, in relationships, in career, same thing. Like, if the hard work is towards that beautiful intention that you want that view, how do you make it fun?
Along the way. Well, thanks for helping make this fun. So much fun, actually. SoCal, how did you say
SoCal Coyotes, coyotes.com.
coyotes.com.
You can also find me on most social media at Coach Jimmy Dean.
Coach Jimmy Dean.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff.
That's awesome. Jimmy Dean Freeman. What a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. And again, thank you to Miles Berkowitz for introducing us. This has been awesome.
Yeah. Thanks, Miles.
We have our Ask Dorothy segment with our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue. And here it goes. Dear Dorothy, this is Joyce, and I want to thank you for all of the support you gave me during my mother's illness and her death. She was my whole life, and I am so lost now that she is gone. I am having a really hard time sitting in her living room, surrounded by her things, and am very nauseous. I can feel her like she is standing next to me and know her spirit is really with me. It is just that I have had a lot to deal with and buried her today. I did my best to make the service very special, and we all felt her. We all felt her there. So it isn't just me who feels her spirit. I am so worried that she might not have liked the service. The sadness is overwhelming, and I can't stop crying. I hope she's not upset with me for being in such a funk, because if she is, that makes it all worse. Please help.
My dear friend, as I've said to you before, love never dies. Your mom is hanging out with you and letting you know that death is an illusion. The fact that you and her friends all felt her at her service is wonderful, and she asked me to tell you that she truly enjoyed her send-off, and now she wants to see you laughing and living life fully without any more sadness. She asks that you please stop grieving and says it is time to celebrate all of the good times and the love you two share. Not shared, but share. She was in so much pain in the final months of her life and is truly happy to be out of her physical body and is thrilled to be reunited with the family members and dear friends who predeceased her. Her wish for you is to see her free at last and know that just because you can't see her, she will always be with you as she lives in your heart. And she knows this and wants you to know this. So talk to her and share your favorite memories with her and laugh and share the new and wonderful things coming your way. This death is not an ending. It is just a beginning of a new way of communicating. When you can see that it's a lot like when she lived in Vegas and you lived in LA, you still talked, even though you couldn't see each other. She wants you to know that she will always be available to you, and if you listen carefully, you can hear her. Let's celebrate her life, and let's find a way for you to co-create a beautiful new life centered around you.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, write to her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com. And we'll be right back with our musical guests, Morrison and Company, on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We're back. We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Dorothy, and of course our guest, Jimmy Dean Freeman, or Coach Jimmy Dean. And joining us in the studio is Deb Morrison and Deb Morrison and Company, the band. They hailed from Altadena, California. I'm going to ask what that's about in just a moment. Gosh, they are what they consider West Coast Americana. I think you'll hear it when we get to listen to them. Here they are, Morrison and Co. And Deb, can you hear me?
I can.
I can't see you, but is that your husband in the way?
It is.
Actually, I should probably say that we have Deb is here. She's the lead singer and songwriter. On rhythm guitar is Matt Littell. And that's thank you. I'm glad I said that right. And lead guitarist is Spencer Kelly, pedal steel Charlie Peterson, and on drums Paul Sinicor. Welcome all.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Deb, it's great to have you all. Deb, what's with Altadena?
Oh, what's with Altadena? You don't know Altadena. It's a best-kept secret. It's right above Pasadena, right along the foothills there.
I know, and it's beautiful, but it seems to be very close to you and the band.
It is very close to us. Yeah, we have a lot of, it's a very artist kind of community up there, and so we play a lot of music and make a lot of food, and it's a very great community. And right along the foothills, and a lot of nature, and a lot of good trails.
You know, Deb, I saw those eyes for a moment. Your beautiful eyes, but I thought, oh, is she giving me eyes? In that, we talked about a lot of things that we were going to talk about, and then you said, "Are you going to ask me anything else?" I'm like, I don't know. I mean, and then the very first question I asked you was something we didn't talk about.
Great,
what about Altadena? I don't know. What about it?
It's a great town. It's
okay, I'm going to ask you something that we did talk about, which I thought was really, really sweet. Music has always been a part of your life. Mm-hmm. And then life happened in a certain way. You and your husband decided to have kids and all, and then what?
Well, we had kids and kind of sold a lot of our gear and raised our kids.
You sold your equipment.
We got rid of a lot of stuff. We kept some stuff around, but we got rid of a lot of our old cool stuff. And then, we got into life and enjoyed every minute of raising our kids. And then one day for Mother's Day, I came down into the living room and he bought this vintage 1963 Ludwig kit and said, "Happy Mother's Day. We're bringing music back." And I said, "Oh, yeah, that's good."
Oh, nice. And ever since then, you've been...
And we just started back up again where we left off.
So that's cool. Awesome. Now, you've been... Actually, everybody here has been with many other bands. Mm-hmm. And this is special because you're all friends.
Yes, we are. We're all friends.
And you're all going to make your first recording as Morrison and Company.
Mm-hmm. Everybody here has played in all kinds of incarnations of different bands over the years. And we've known Paul for, I don't even want to say the number, but we were kids, let's put it that way, when we started playing with him. So we would have this little gathering called the living room sessions in our living room after we filled it back up with all our gear, and just would invite people over for these amazing jam sessions. And then one night, my friend said, "Let's play some of your songs." And I said, "Okay." And we did. And then I was like, "Okay, that's it. We're doing it." So here we are.
Well, here you are. And actually, you're going to do it with the first song, which is called
Salton Sea,
mm-hmm.
and it's about this. Were you moved by seeing it, or what's that about?
Well, I think I've always been fascinated with it. Like many people who are visual, go out there and it's just one of those places that's eerily beautiful and haunting, and it's kind of a metaphor for some of the lyrics in the word Salton Sea. But basically, if you're going to go get in that water there, you know, and basically some of the words are, I'm going to drown myself in the Salton Sea, and things have to be pretty bad if you're going to want to go in there and walk through the bones. But, so that's where that came from. Yeah.
Wow.
But it's about,
I mean, we have people melting in the valley here with the guest, and you people walking in the Salton Sea.
Yeah, okay. It was just kind of fascinating and interesting, and it feels like the end of the world. But in actuality, to me, when I go out there, it feels like the end, but also the beginning. So I thought that was kind of cool.
You know, I must have missed it, because all the songs that I heard, and I heard a lot of songs, they all sounded fun, and they all sounded uppy and country, and so then I asked you, and you said, yeah, we have a lot of fun, would you say geeky or something, or fun
cheeky
yeah, fun cheeky songs, and then we have like the two we're gonna do today.
Well, they're, yeah, you know, it goes back and forth. You're happy one minute, you can be a deep thinker the next.
The alpha and the omega.
The alpha and the omega. Well, exactly. I love it. We're going to get into some deep thinking here. Here is Morrison and Company live on the Life Changes Show performing Salton Sea here at Studio NoHo.
Thank you so much.
Daddy just died and my lover left me for Dallas. Wallet's gone dry and baby, I got a habit. Heart is dead, is a Salton Sea. I packed my bags for nowhere, and that's where I found you. Playing some bottom feet or die. 235. You're a tall drink of water. Got a lot of eyes and you're staring at me. Just one sip and I got up and down. Yeah, I wanna drown myself in the Salton Sea. And the water don't flow. I'll turn to the right and follow the crow. You're a tall drink of water. I got a lot of eyes and stamina. Just one sip and I go up and down. Yeah, yeah, I wanna drown myself in the Salton Sea. Thank you.
stamina mine. Just one sip and I go under. Yeah, yeah, I wanna drown myself. Drown myself in my soul to see.
Wow, that was awesome. That was so awesome. Drown myself in the Salton Sea. Morrison and Company, you could look them up at morrisoncompanyband.com. I actually think, aren't you on Facebook and social media as that as well?
We sure are, yeah.
morrisoncompanyband.com. Wow, that is so interesting. And as a matter of fact, I was going to say, hey, Jimmy Dean, how about doing a race from the Salton Sea? But he beat me to the punch. He sent me a text here. I'm going to read it because during the song, I'm like, who's texting me? And this is what the text is. I've run a race from the shore of the Salton Sea to the top of Mount Palomar and a 100-mile race through the San Gabriel Mountains that finishes in Altadena.
Oh, my gosh. It's so great.
Eerie parallels, he said.
It's amazing.
That is awesome. Wow. Now, you're doing something interesting with the songs in that this is actually on the album that's not released yet, but mm-hmm. you've released it, but not, I mean, how are you doing this?
We're basically just every couple of months we're releasing a new tune, and I'm just letting them each go out one by one, and then in the end, it'll culminate into our album.
Does the album have a title yet?
I'm working on it.
Oh, okay.
So, I haven't decided. I haven't decided quite yet.
All right. So morrisoncompanyband.com, and that's where you can go to, or all the social media also to see what's up next for them, mm-hmm. Where you're going to be next. You're traveling, or you're busy recording right now?
We're busy here. We've got a residency at the Highland Park Bowl starting in April, and then we're at the Altadena Hootenanny on Friday the 15th here.
Nice.
And then we're going to finish our album up and finish a few more videos and then make a plan to go on the road.
This is fun. You know, I'm trying to think if I've ever seen, because you're lead singer, you're the songwriter, but I don't know that I've ever seen a lead singer female bass player, because that's a bass, right?
It is.
You're okay.
It is indeed.
Can we talk about that?
We can. Yes. A lot of people come up to me and say, oh my gosh, you know, what is that? Because it looks twice as large as I am. But yeah, so I'm a bass player. And I have been for a long time.
So you were a kid and you're like, I need a bass.
Actually, I started playing bass in the late 80s. And
so you were a kid and you said, you were crawling and you said, I like that bass.
I like that bass.
You're all about the bass.
I'm all about the bass. But back in that time period, there were hardly any female bass players.
Yeah.
So I had a lot going on because everybody wanted someone who sang backup and played bass. So it was like, wow, I guess that's the way to go.
Oh, interesting. So, interesting.
Yeah.
And you also have you have two guitars,
mm-hmm.
And you also have an interesting instrument. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Please, Charlie and the pedal steel. Wow. These guys are, first I have to just say, everybody in this room is so amazing. I feel so blessed to be able to play with them. They're all amazing musicians and wonderful people to boot. So yeah, Charlie's on the pedal steel and he's amazing. It's a very complicated instrument that, right,
not
Charlie?
Me, I'm a simple guy.
Simple guy, complicated instrument. And he's able to master it all flawlessly. So
that's awesome. And you've known Mr. Sinicor over here on drums forever, and obviously you've been with your husband forever. And is it now Spencer Kelly is new to the band?
Spencer is another really good friend of ours, and he our guitar player was out of the country, and he was nice enough to come and fill in, and we'll take him any day.
Oh, nice. Okay, well, very good. We get honor of getting another song, and this is a sad song, but it's called It's Okay.
No, it's actually not sad.
It's a deep song.
It's just
deeper than the Salton Sea.
Well, I don't know if it's deep. It's just, it's not sad. It's actually about allowing love in. So I would think that's a positive thing.
Oh, okay.
So you might like this one.
Well, somebody came and said, oh my God, that song made me cry. And maybe it just touched them.
It should be happy tears.
Oh, happy tears. Okay.
Or just touching, maybe is a better way to say it.
Whatever it is, I know it's good. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure our audience is as well. Here is Debbie Morrison and Morrison and Company.
Thank you.
Live on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo, performing It's Okay here at Studio NoHo.
It's okay to look at me deeply for a moment. I see everything. It's okay, it's okay to touch my save your whispers for air. And if I lose myself, I don't care. With you, I can breathe underwater. It's okay, those promised words for a moment. I believe everything. But save your whispers for air. And if I lose myself, I don't care. With you, I can breathe underwater. Self, save yourself from yourself. It only hurts when it matters. Take it from you, hold my breath, chew it through. I know it's now or never. I'll save your whispers for air. And if I lose myself, I don't care. With you, I can breathe. Save yourself from yourself. It only hurts when it matters. Oh,
wow. Wow. Morrison and Company. Wow. Look, standing ovation right outside those windows. Wow. This is awesome. That it was so awesome. Thank you very much. So, Morrison Company Band. Find them all over. Morrison Company Band. I can't wait till you all tour and everybody gets to experience you all live. Let me make sure I got this line right, because I'm going to want to remember it. I said to myself, mm-hmm. save yourself from yourself.
Yes.
That is awesome.
Oh, thank
it
you.
Only hurts when it matters. That, I mean, that's that, where did that come from?
That just came from my thoughts.
Wow. It came from yourself.
That just came from myself.
She didn't even steal it.
I didn't steal it.
Wow.
I'm glad then, you like it.
And thank then. You. With you, I can breathe underwater. I mean, this is brilliant.
Oh, thank
you. This is so great. I've enjoyed this so much. What a gift. And I have to say to Matt Littell, what a Mother's Day gift. That's awesome. What a Mother's Day gift to everyone who gets to hear you all. What a special thing this has been. Debbie Morrison, Matt Littell, Spencer Kelly, Charlie Peterson, Paul Sinacord. Have I missed anybody? You guys are all awesome. MorrisonCompanyBand.com. Can't wait to hear more of you and hopefully see you again soon.
Thank you so much for
what
having
me. What a pleasure. We have to thank Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo because he arranged for all this to happen, not only figuratively, but literally with getting you all in here and getting us all sound so great. So a big thank you to Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo.
Thank you, Brent, so much for having us.
Thank you once again to Jimmy Dean Freeman. And on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, and our co-producer and host, Mark Lejeune, I am Filippo Voltaggio saying thank you to all of you for listening and reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.